Louis, aren't we rolling?
We are ready to go.
Oh, we're rolling? Yes.
That's good.
Hello, welcome to Sissy Boys. Please subscribe to the YouTube so we can get Cooper to stop smoking and punch him in the stomach as hard as we can.
Please, for the love of God, we're so worried about Cooper's health.
And we need him to be punched in the stomach for his health.
Yeah.
Do you think maybe that would get him on the right track if we just really socked him one?
No, it would give him something to like complain about.
But the thing about Cooper is you can't really tell because
actually
he's never really been, he's punched, but he's never been punched back.
Yes. Actually, you know? I think you're right. He would respond positively to being like really put in his place.
Yeah. I think he would
like it. He likes a firm hand.
You and me should jump him.
Yeah. His dad is like too into meditation and bullshit.
Right. If we jumped him, if you and me really just kind of like gave him a 30 seconds in hell beatdown, I think it might have him come around to the side of the Lord, which you and me are on.
Absolutely. Yeah, he would stop making jokes about things like 9/11.
Yeah, and Christianity. Stuff that you and me hold very sacred.
It would be funny if we did that because he would, for the first like 30 seconds, be like, come on, guys, stop playing around.
Right.
And like, we're continually like actually hitting him. I don't know how he would walk away from that situation.
He wouldn't, I'll tell you that much.
But like he would be... Like, it would be the type of thing where, like, he's like, you guys are my friends. Like, this was supposed to be funny, but it's not funny anymore.
Dude, okay, speaking of things that aren't funny, I had a really... I don't even know if I want to share it, but I was in a yoga class yesterday, and I had... It's a Bikram yoga... Well, technically, it's actually not Bikram. It's 26 and 2 because they can't call it Bikram because they'll get sued.
What is Bikram or 26
and 2? It's like
2?
A hour, 30-minute super hard yoga class where it's like fucking hot as hell. It's like super intense. You get woozy in it.
Is it like over 100 degrees?
Yeah. It's crazy,
so it's
hot
yoga.
It's crazy hot yoga. Yeah. And one of the directions for one of the poses was, okay, and we're going to like come up on one leg and shoot your arms out just like an airplane. Pretend you're an airplane. And I couldn't help but imagine if the teacher was like, pretend you're an airplane flying into the Twin Towers. And I just, that was just in my head, though, like how, if a yoga teacher just said that, because it's a hot Bikram class. So, I mean, I would keep doing the class because I'm not going to get out of the class because of that. But I was just, I couldn't stop laughing about it. It was one of those things where I just thought of something silly and I just couldn't stop laughing.
And there's really no reason for you to have that so stuck on your mind.
So I look like a psychopath because everybody's like sweating and I'm just in the back like,
everyone thinks you're laughing because you're like so much better at it than they are.
Yeah, they think I'm like a high mountaintop yogi.
You're like, wow, I'm the only one who actually has muscle.
No, I'm thinking of a national tragedy.
Wait, was that the inappropriate thing from yoga?
Yeah. The inappropriate thing was my girlfriend is a yoga teacher.
Yeah.
And I called her after the class because the teacher did a lot of hands-on adjustment and was talking to me during the class, which is very unusual for a 26 and 2 class because it's like so intense. You're usually not trying to make small talk, but she was like, oh, that's like a cool tattoo. Are you a Taurus? Because I have the bull tattoo on my chest.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, no. And she was like, oh, I am. We're very strong-headed. And I was like, okay. And she did, like, a lot of hands-on adjustments.
And you're like, yeah, you guys don't know when to shut up.
Yeah. She did a lot of hands-on adjustments. And at the end of the class, she was like, oh, have I met you before? And I was like, no. And she was like, you have such a strong practice. And, like, blah, blah, blah. So I was like that. It felt maybe a little inappropriate, maybe not. And I talked to my girlfriend, who's a yoga teacher, and I told her about all that. And she's like, okay, first of all, if it was your first class, she should not have been doing that many hands-on adjustments with you. She should not have been making small talk with you in the middle of class, especially something like that's about a tattoo that's on your body. And my girlfriend got a little mad. It was kind of nice seeing her steamed up.
Seeing her be possessive of her man.
Yeah, she was a little fired up.
It's nice. You guys probably had really good sex after that.
We did. We had really good sex before that. I called her after the yoga class. I didn't see her yet, but I'm sure we'll have good sex.
Yeah. She's going to like try to leave a mark.
Yeah, she's going to hit me in the face.
No, that woman was definitely aggressively flirting. Yeah. I mean, if obviously the power dynamics differed, but if it was flipped and she was like, girls, first day of class, and a guy was like, oh, I love that tattoo. Are you a Taurus?
I didn't even think about that.
Any of that would have been like, okay, this guy's, it's just like very stereotypical. Like
that's so, cause it's so obvious when you put it that way. Like, cause I'm the only guy in there. I'm not bragging or nothing.
You were the only guy
but
in there?
No. I was the only guy in there under like 50. Do you know what I mean? I was the only guy in there under 50 who had like,
I
was in
you
shape.
Mean.
You're fucking pissing me off. Listen, I'm trying to... listen, I'm very humble. I'm not the hottest guy in the world, but I was in that class, okay? I'll say that much.
You were under 50, I
and if a guy yoga teacher was going up to, like, clearly the most, you know, sexually viable person in a yoga class and was talking about her tattoos and giving her... I would be like, look at this fucking creep.
Yeah. Yeah, women are able to get a lot with a lot these days.
And that's the fucking point of this podcast. No, well, that's the thing is there's no underlying threat, which is why I don't feel like it was that damaging to my psyche. I don't feel like I was, you know, mentally shook from that engagement because of there's not.
I mean, see, I think that's where you're weak.
You think I'm weak for saying that?
For you to assume that. There was no threat to you. You're in a dangerous spot.
Oh, that's interesting.
That's when they're going to get you.
Because women are just as powerful as men, and I'm not treating it like that.
Women be manipulating men.
You're so lucky you have the voice that you do to say those things.
But it is, I'm totally kidding. You're fine. But, that it is like such an absurd kind of version of sexism where like we assume that women aren't powerful enough to actually like,
no, it's not that she's not, I mean, obviously she's powerful. She's like running the class. She's in charge of the class, but there's no like systemic that's not a systematized form of whatever you want to call it. Like, I don't want to say sexual harassment, but that's not like a systemic thing that women make men feel uncomfortable and exploit their power over men. It's like, it's a systemic thing that men do it to women just because it's existed throughout history and is like literally within systems of power.
Right. And especially in a yoga class, you're not worried that like, if you don't give in, she's not going to let you come back to the class. Right.
Yeah. It's
like,
not, it's not the kind of yoga place where it's like a corporate chain.
Yeah. Yeah. She's not your manager or something.
No.
That would be funny if she was your manager and your yoga instructor.
Yeah.
And she pretended like she'd never met you before.
Totally. How was your little week in New York?
My little 3 weeks in New York.
Oh, 3 weeks.
I know.
Trotting your ass around Manhattan.
Yeah, I mean, like...
waving at the sailors.
I was in Brooklyn the whole time.
That's cool.
But I spent a lot of time in Manhattan. I love New York. It's great. You can walk around. I was clocking like 8 or 9 miles walking a day without trying. I love taking public transport. Honestly, reminds me a lot of where I grew up in Indonesia.
Do you think you'd be happier in New York?
That's kind of why I went on this trip. I was trying to like see if I would potentially want to live there. You know, the stand-up scene is apparently much better.
Sure.
It's
a great stand-up scene. I love the comics there. But in terms of like being a comic without much of a name, I think it has its own difficulties.
That's what I quickly learned. I was like, I'm already somewhat established or like have a good foundation here where like I would have to be starting back at like nothing.
You'd have to go back to fucking your way to the top like you did here.
Yeah.
You'd have to keep climbing that ladder.
Yeah.
Start from square one.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Just like New York, people can compare the two, but I was like, oh, I can be equally as complacent and miserable in New York as I can in LA. Like,
totally.
I am the problem. I'm not going to move to New York and suddenly be happier.
He changes his sky and not his heart, he who sails across the sea. Taurus.
He changes his sky and not his heart, he who travels across... Wow, that's actually really beautiful.
Think about that.
Yeah, I'm going to call it my tattoo guy right now.
You get that fucking huge... The font's too big in the beginning, like you overshoot it, so you have to make it smaller as it keeps going.
Yes.
Across your chest.
Perfect. I do want a chest centerpiece tattoo. That's it.
Now, you decided to become a controversial Twitter comic in New York. Is that true?
I decided no longer to be controversial.
Yeah, tell me about that.
It's not worth it. Well, I don't know how in depth I can.
No, you don't want it, but just tell me about the decision to no longer be controversial. Because this is going to, we might have to get another problematic guy for the podcast.
That's true. No, I think I'll still manage to make some things slip. But
Lewis, do you know all the bad words, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Interesting. Go on, Matt.
We're talking about
how you're deciding to not be problematic anymore.
Yeah. I guess he can just bleep out anything he wants to bleep out. But I have that necklace that says.
Okay.
Are we gonna bleep that out?
Well, you could have said the R word.
Oh, okay.
And we
would
have known what you
meant. I have
this
necklace that someone gave me.
Yeah.
I didn't purchase it, but it says the R word.
Sure.
And people are obsessed with it and they think it's really funny, and I've like now, decided when, not to post it on social media.
When we say people, you mean ironic people in New York and LA who are in a very specific kind of scene.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Not global elites. What is it? Coastal elites.
Coastal elites.
Who are so woke that it's funny at this point to make fun of words that we're not allowed to say.
Right.
To some degree. Yeah, I don't know. I have this necklace. Someone posted a picture of it on Twitter. It went viral. And then, like, people started attacking the person who posted it on Twitter. And I just had this realization where I was like, for a moment, I was a little jealous of the attention that this person was getting.
Yeah. Now, I remember you and me had a conversation where you decided to stop wearing it out as much.
Yes.
Right.
And now I'm
we had a little talk. I sat you down. I said, hey, Matt, I see you gallivanting.
Yeah, yeah. It's just not, I mean, gosh, I don't know why I'm such an experiential learner, but like, it's so not worth it. Like,
right.
I would rather just be known for being funny than being like the guy who says the one word that you're not supposed to say.
That's great. I think that's great. I think it's great to realize that. And it's like, I think that it did become a big, irony poisoning has become such a big thing.
Is that a term?
Yeah.
Irony poisoning?
Where you're ironic for so long that the line begins to blur between what is and is not irony in your life.
Interesting.
Like the perfect example of that would be, do you know the comedian Sam Hyde?
Yeah.
He's used as an example of irony poisoning. Whether or not that is true, he's used as the example because he's been ironic online for so long that he has become a person where he's done and said things that seem to blur the line between like, well, this doesn't seem ironic anymore.
Would Tim Dillon be considered?
I think he's a little bit more methodical, and I think he's very...
And he comes back around.
I think he's very tactical with his irony and ironic statements, but yeah. It's someone who... The difference between, say, a Tim Dillon and someone else is, like, the other people don't have control over... They literally become a different person due to how much ironic shit they do online. It's, like, kind of the... Like, Pepe guys and like, 4chan and 8chan guys fall under this category where I think a lot of it did start as trolling and probably still is trolling. But if you do that for long enough, you can kind of... become the person that you're pretending to be.
You lose a sense of self from playing that game for too long.
Yeah.
That's funny. I've been like caught in these situations. It happens less now, but like I'll be with a certain group of friends and someone new will come in who doesn't know the dynamic in the group, and that person will be like, wow, Matt's such a fucking bitch. And then I'll be like, what? And I was like, oh, no, I'm not actually a bitch. I'm like joking around and pretending as if I was a bitch.
Right.
And then they're like, okay, but you're being a bitch.
But the outcome of that.
Like, it's
is
like
that,
I'm hanging with people who know me. And so I'm pretending to be this character of someone who is like hyper annoying and like is really rude about stuff, but they know I'm joking. But then that new person is like, wait, but in this person is functionally being a bitch.
Totally. Yeah, it's when people like,
and then at that point it's there's a moment of like, oh, who is this fun for anymore?
And also it's been overstated possibly, but I think people do eventually fall into characters that they play sometimes, and it's like that can be in like a bit, whether it's a character that's meant for entertainment or whether it's a quote-unquote character you play in your normal life, You know what I mean? And I think people need to be aware of that, because I think we are susceptible to, you know, losing ourselves in what is initially sort of like a humorous endeavor. I've seen it with my friends. I've seen it with my friend. It's like, you know, you have shows that are like doing kind of what you're saying, which is, you know, ironic versions of bigotry. Like you play a bigoted character, and the people who are doing those shows and podcasts and stuff probably do have a good handle on it, but the people listening don't necessarily.
Right.
You know what I mean? And a lot of those people do get lost in it, where they do become like actual, you know, fucking down the line political ideologues.
Yeah, it's totally the they're honestly often the most insufferable people to spend time with, where it's like when you're on stage, it's fine to be one thing. But once you get off the stage, like be a kind, empathetic human being, because everyone's already so exhausted.
So what? So we're getting into an era possibly of woke Matt.
No,
we might get woke Matt. We're going to get hashtag resist Matt.
I'm excited
for this.
No, not woke, just earnest.
Earnest Matt.
Woke is, I think that is bad.
Woke. I use that word kidding. I don't actually use the word woke.
But I don't think most woke people are earnest. I think they're like, woke has a...
woke has a negative connotation.
Yeah, has a aura of self-righteousness.
Yes.
Like, also, how funny is it that people who are liberal are woke and people who are conservative are awake?
Let's not get that sound bited. What are you talking about?
Those are the terms that are used.
Conservatives say that they are awake.
Yes.
Well, that's just as annoying.
That's the point I'm making. That's a fine sound bite.
That is equally
annoying.
But like,
people who are anti-woke culture are like, we're not woke, we are awake. And they're using the same colloquial.
Same thing. Yeah, that's the same.
It's like, it's so funny how obviously ironic it is.
Yeah.
To be like, we're not this, we're actually that exact same thing.
Damn, dude, conservative like, not talk slogans have really been falling off as of late. Because they used to be, my friend AJ O'Connell has a joke about how conservatives used to have the sickest slogans. Like, the ideas behind them weren't good, but the slogans were great.
Can you think of one?
Yeah, like pro-choice, and then conservatives were like, well, how about pro-life? You know what I mean? And it's like, who's gonna
argue against checkmate.
Yeah, it's checkmate.
No one's saying anti-pro-life.
Slogan-wise, not ideological.
Yeah.
No,
they won that slogan war.
If you ever get a guy pregnant through anal sex, you will consider abortion as a option.
Me?
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
You would have the baby.
That would be groundbreaking.
As soon as I said that, I was like, no. Well, not just that. I feel like there's
Holy
something.
Holy shit.
I feel like there's like a fetish part of you that would enjoy raising a baby, but in like kind of a in like a fetish way, where it's like, this is my cum. You know what I mean?
Isn't every baby your cum?
No, but I'm saying you would be. I don't think all dads are like, this is my cum.
No, I would enjoy ironically raising a child.
Yeah, you would ironically. That's exactly what
I'm
saying.
Oh, yeah, I love you.
I love you. Oh, my God, look who's talking.
I'm sending you to school.
But but recently, even the slogans have been getting, like, Blue Lives Matter is one of the worst slogans of all time. Blue lives is such a like
it
weird.
It is very, very funny because no one is blue.
It's such a misnomer term. It's like, it means nothing. And then awake or awoken. What did you say?
Yeah, you're awake.
Ugh, it's just so.
That stemmed from QAnon, but it has like been diluted into other conservative realms.
Interesting.
Like, but it's that idea that, which we have as well, or we, whatever, liberals who say that they are woke, it's like you have a clear vision around what is like truly happening. Like, we are woke, meaning that we see systemic racism and we see like these underlying themes that regular people don't necessarily understand. And then people who are awake see that like everything the media is feeding us is a lie, and that Hillary Clinton is actually a lizard.
Right.
which I'm not opposed to that point.
You've made that very clear.
Yeah. Damn.
No, it's just
Hillary is not a real human being, for the record.
Yeah, it is funny. I mean, I think the term woke is very stupid, and it is meant to disparage a group of people that I think do, for the most part, have like good ideas and intentions.
Yeah, the term has been co-opted.
And also the term has been used, like, I mean, YouTube is a terrible example of this, but shit on YouTube will be called woke when you're just like, hey, maybe we like shouldn't, you know, whatever, drive a semi truck with like Trump flags behind the gay pride parade. And it's like, you fucking woke liberal. And it's like, eh.
Yeah, we've talked about this before. Also, those terms just get like grouped into like a whole, like, you are under an umbrella of all these ideologies.
I get called woke online all the time. That's kind of why I say
you're
that.
You're probably considered woke because you're pro-choice.
Right. Yeah, literally, yeah.
But, like, you're such a, like, understanding, like, person who's able to have friends with different ideologies.
Oh, that's nice of you to say. Also, it's like, it's one of those things where I'm never taking this stance of, these ideas are coming from me and I'm this genius for having them. It's like, I'm always like, no, this is just kind of how I like feel about the subject. And the people who agree with me, I've heard them, and I've heard the points of people who disagree with me and all that. It's never coming from this point of like, I think you're stupid if you disagree.
Yeah.
You know, I just think maybe there's some learning to be done or whatever, but it's like you said, with the religious reasons, like deprogramming people from like certain mindsets and stuff is a losing battle. So you just kind of have to have your ideas and hold them in whatever way you think is cool. And, you know, that's the whole, I'm never trying to like shove shit in people's faces, really.
Someone said something to me recently that I've never heard before, and it made so much sense. 9/11 was an inside job. I'm just kidding. No.
Now, Matt, I've told you to stop hanging out outside the docks.
This person said that when they were raised religious, like myself and many other people, there is this idea that what your understanding of who God is, you have this superior knowledge. So I was always raised feeling like I know something, like, you know, me as a 7-year-old talking to like 50-year-olds who are non-believers being like, I have this superior knowledge and understanding of God,
by the way,
eternity.
Even by definition of like, you know, Christianity is not the mindset that you're taught. You know what I mean? Like, if you're looking at the Bible specifically, it's like humility and
right.
It's
no,
so important.
It is one of the most off-putting. It's the same reason people are off-put by woke or culture or whatever, because there's a superiority complex and a sense of self-righteousness. And like, I know I'm no better than you do, as opposed to like being able to listen and understand others. But I never made the connection that, like, since leaving the church and since leaving those like strong theological beliefs, I've transferred like that idea into like other areas of my life.
Right. Well,
now that I'm like, I've never made that connection where like, I think that like, if I have an idea of what I think is right, I might have like a superiority complex around that.
Well, also, I think there's a superiority to, kind of circling back, that level of like ironic, problematic behavior, because you're saying it's so obvious that I know the right thing that I'm able to play with this now. Do you know what I mean? It's so clear that I am on the right side of things that I can pretend that I'm like a worse person than I actually am.
Yes.
Which is, I'm not saying that, I mean, I think some like ironic, problematic stuff is some of the funniest stuff out there for sure. But that it is its own, it can be in its own way like an assertion of superiority.
Yeah.
Because you look at people who are being genuine, like when you're being ironic, you look at people who are being earnest and you immediately go like, fucking dumbass. Like, look at this loser being earnest.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
That's, you kind of lose like a sense of I don't know, at some point, like, it's fun to joke around like that, but then it becomes, you become like a miserable person because you're not able to just like enjoy other people.
Damn, New York really changed.
New York, I had a really, really hard, bad time.
Really? Yeah. Did you get, you didn't get sucked off or fucked off there?
No, not really. I felt like a cute, like, hot boy on the new hot, like, piece of meat on the block for like 2 seconds.
Out. Yeah.
But I think it was I was there during the heat wave. It was incredibly hot. I was on the 5th floor of an apartment building that didn't have an elevator or air conditioning.
Yeah, that's New York. Yep.
It was, I mean, people warned me that August was a terrible month to be there, and I did not listen. But yeah, I tried to spend as much time out of my apartment as possible. I think also I just went in with this idea that, like, I'm quite a social person, and for whatever reason, when I got there, I kind of shut down socially, and I didn't feel like being around a lot of new people.
Interesting.
I think it's because I've been sober now for 56 days, and when I got there, I was like 20 days sober. And
oh, I mean, you literally created the perfect cocktail for having a weird time in New York.
Totally. I forgot how to have fun without going out. I'm in New York. Everyone's out till 4 a.m. It's the summer. Yeah.
I mean, everybody's doing drugs.
Everyone. But yeah, and then like the best way to meet new people and socialize typically is just like go to a bar and hang out, which I did a few times. I did multiple times, but like, yeah, I think I was having somewhat of like an existential crisis. And like when you get sober, just like understanding like, oh, what do I actually like doing for fun outside right. of going to bars and getting fucked up? And
so maybe it was a positive because at least it was a shock to the system going to New York sober. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I think I made some genuine friendships there, whereas like
You're so good at that. You're so good at like going into spaces and socializing with people and making connections and stuff.
Oh, thank you.
Hey, you are. You know that about yourself. You know it's one of your strong suits.
Yeah, I often feel like it's like the only thing. It's my special skill.
Even if it was, you could still be fine off that.
Yeah.
When I go to like a party or whatever, it's not that I'm antisocial, but I'm just like, I can't do this.
It is something that I've had to learn is something that I should not take for granted because I don't even need some people. Alcohol is like a social lubricant for them. And it is for me too, but I've never even needed that. I have some weird confidence or like, it's not even a confidence. It's like, I have a genuine curiosity to get to know people. And I feel like if I don't know everyone in the room that I'm like, there's a sense that like I'm lying to people.
Ooh, explain that.
Like,
if you don't know everyone in the room, there's a sense that you're lying to people.
I've always felt this way since I was younger. Like, if people don't know like who I am, then it's like I'm hiding something from them.
That is so, so interesting and
it's not necessarily
foreign to me.
yeah, no, I feel that way often. And like anything that's going on in my life, like I've always been attracted to very private people, like because for them to let me in is like something so special. Whereas I don't necessarily have that. I always feel like if I'm not letting everyone around me know exactly what I'm up to, that I'm like, that I am lying to them in a sense.
How is it lying though?
But I don't know, like by like concealing information, it's not lying.
Interesting.
It's not.
But you're like the omission is
yes.
like being secretive.
Yeah, which is so bizarre. It's something that I've had to like learn over time and value my own privacy.
Right.
Like I don't have to let everyone in my life. It's actually quite a dangerous thing.
Oh, yeah.
Because you'll like share information with someone and then that person is not capable of like giving a shit about what you're talking about.
This is kind of what's interesting about the podcast is you're very open with people and very like trusting of them, I would say.
To a fault, yes.
Yeah, to a fault. Cooper is very open with people and very distrusting of them. And then I'm kind of in the middle of both of those things. I'm open and I kind of trust and distrust in the middle.
Yeah, I feel like you don't have an excessive need to give out your information.
No, I make it very clear because I do live streams and stuff, so it's not like I'm fucking Mr. Privacy or whatever. But often people will ask me personal questions. I'm like, I'm not even going to acknowledge that. I don't need to tell you that.
Yeah, my first thought would be like, why would I be hiding that? Like,
right.
I think it probably stems from just like, whatever, being closeted or also just like coming from a strong religious background where
that
like,
makes so much sense,
where people would lie all the time. And like, you know, you want to put off this perfect perception of who you are. And so when I moved out of that,
did you ever in your closeted state, you would have to get into conversation with guys about like women, right? Like you would have to talk to them about like,
yeah, all the time.
So you, what was your, would you just be like, I just fucking love pussy? What was your character?
This is why one, often guys would be very jealous of me because I would have a lot, like
women were around you.
Women were around me all the time. I was unaware that I was attractive to them.
Sure.
I just thought that they liked being my friend. And I guess I would get in trouble on both sides because, like, girls would be annoyed at me for, like, not wanting to make the next move.
Totally.
And then guys would be annoyed at me for, like,
being having... around so many women.
Yeah. But the best thing about, like, Christian circles are the best place for... conservative Christian circles are the best place for closeted men to hang out.
Because that is there's not... so true.
There's no sexual pressure. And you are...
Wow, that is so true.
You are esteemed as a better
Christian
the less sexual you are.
You're like the highest. You're like pious for not like delving into those little conversations with guys about like, oh, you good fucking look at that girl. And you're like, I actually believe in the stuff we're being taught.
Right. No.
That's so funny.
Yeah, I've like joked about it on stage, but just with guys being like... or. People being like, wow, like I wish I could be like a Christian like Matt. Like he's been dating his girlfriend for 6 months and they haven't even kissed on the lips once. Like he's an incredible man. Like, what's your secret?
I wish I could be a Christian like Matt. He's surrounded by five naked women rubbing their asses on him. And he's not even a little hard right now. He must be such a good Christian.
He loves God.
He fucking loves God.
Yeah, so bad. These poor women. And then they get married to these guys.
Oh, yeah.
Who do not love them.
It's too bad.
Or maybe, I mean, my first girlfriend who I loved so much, I realize now, like, I just wanted to be her best friend.
Right.
And I wanted to spend forever with her, which would have been possible. Like, just be friends forever, you know?
Totally.
Because I immediately had a connection with this person. I thought she was so funny. Whatever. And I was like, wow, this is the person for me. And completely ruined that relationship by trying to make it romantic.
Sure.
And then her feeling, you know, unexplainably hurt because, like, why am I so undesirable?
Yeah, it's funny because I've had semi situations like that where I was with a woman that I didn't like. We were in a relationship already dating, like, the sex was good and stuff, but I wasn't into them as much as I like. Would have liked to be, and like whatever, I felt forced into a relationship, and then it causes a rift no matter what, no matter how good you are at like pretending, and no matter how good you are at being like, oh yeah, no, I want to get married, I want to like blah blah blah, but you're actually not into that person, it immediately causes a rift. So I can't imagine how high level the rift is between you and those women, because it's like there's not even the baseline sexual attraction.
Right. And they're in their mind, they're spinning like all these ideas, being like, oh, is it because like he's so dedicated to God? Like there's this whole
right.
extra level.
Oh, that's so fucked up because they have, if it wasn't such a conservative Christian community,
like
I'm sure
none of my friends were fucking.
I'm sure they would have been a little bit more open to the idea of like, oh, maybe Matt's just gay.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's so funny.
Which it's so crazy because one by one, so many people from my college have like come out as gay.
Sure.
And it's just so weird.
One by one, like every one of them.
Truly. Truly. But it's so funny to just like look back on it back then and to be like, how were we like, these people were obviously gay.
Right.
And we're just like, oh, you know, they're just saving themselves, or like they're just like they're focused on their studies right now. They want to get a good job before they get, you know, just like excuse after excuse. How did you in that situation where you were with that girl?
Yeah.
And you felt like they're.
It's happened a few times, but I'll think of one specific example.
How did you eventually end the relationship?
It would always come to a head. There would always be, like, I would propose to be into the relationship in, like, a way that was not genuine to how I actually felt about them.
Up top?
Up top, but then it would always come to a head where it would be, like, with one of them, we had a pregnancy scare, and I was like, because they had told me before, well, if I get pregnant, like, I'll get rid of it, like, it's fine, whatever. And then we had a pregnancy scare, and it turned out to be nothing. And then she was like, oh yeah, well, if it actually was, I think I would have kept it. And I was like,
and you're like, that's my cum.
Well, I was clearly give it back. No, and I was clearly like, even then, this is so fucked up. But even then, I was like, okay, well. But I was a little tentative. I wasn't directly like, no, like, I'm not ready for that at all. But I was just like, well, we had this conversation where you seemed to feel another way. And she was like, yeah, well, I feel this way now. Like, it kind of showed that I feel this way. And I was like, all right, well, I'm not into that. It, like, blah, blah, blah. It just always there's like a decision to be made or a fork in the road down the line. Luckily, this was within like a year of dating this person. So it wasn't
so
like...
So that, I mean, that's a big incident, and that kind of was the deciding factor.
That was the deciding factor. But there's always sort of when you're faking the funk with somebody. And it's like, that's why like my most successful relationships, you always wonder when you're dating someone, it's funny. You always have the thought of like, what if I was just completely honest with this person? Like, what if I was just 100% honest with, not just not in a way where it's like, obviously you're not cheating on them, you're not like XYZ, but what if I was just completely like, you know, I like you, I'm not sure about whatever, just like, because you have to kind of have this, I feel like I'm sometimes pressured to have this kind of like fairy tale coding over relationships where you're like, oh yeah, but and I find the closer I get to absolute honesty, like actual true honesty, not just like, not just not cheating on the person, but really being like, yeah, I fucking don't want to hang out today, actually. Like, it's not something that I would like to do. I'll do it for you. But like, the closer I get to that, the better the relationship is. And maybe there is a tipping point where it's like, okay, be a fucking human being. Don't be a sociopath about this. Where it's like, I do completely agree that that is a part of it. But I think people sway way too far on the side of lying to keep things together.
Yeah. I mean, to the point where it's like, I don't have eyes for anyone except you.
Yeah. It's like, what the fuck are we talking about here?
Obviously, we're attracted to a lot of people.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean I'm going to fuck them.
Totally.
But it's so bizarre to like pretend like you're not attracted to others.
Yeah, 100%. And you're not going to get into like weird gray area situations where it's like, I had a conversation with my girlfriend where she was like, she's like in line at a place and a guy started hitting on her, and then like his wife came and like, you know, there was like a big whatever, and then the guy was like, oh, you know, blah blah blah, let me get your social media, and she gave it to him. And she told me this whole, no, I wasn't with her. She told me that whole story, and I was like, well, I'm not completely comfortable with like a guy hitting on you and then you giving him your social media. And she was like, oh yeah, I see how you could feel that way. And it's like, if I was in a place where I was like, I can't believe she did that. And it's like, no, that was a very human, very understandable. And I've had things like that too. Like, me and her have talked about like girls DMing me and stuff. Yeah. And it's just those gray area things happen. The more open you can be about it, the more you can address it. Do you know what I mean? And addressing it is the most important fucking thing, because you're not caught in this fairy tale that lasts 5 years and then comes to a crashing fucking halt.
Yeah. Oh my God. Are you familiar with the, I don't even want to mention their thing, but the Fit and Fresh pod?
Oh yeah. I mean, it's my favorite podcast.
That guy is crazy.
Yeah. That's the,
his mission statement is that if a woman has Instagram, then she's cheating on her boyfriend, and men want sex and women want love. And that's it. Like,
I mean,
and
it's
so
just,
men are able to cheat on their girlfriends because they just want sex. Men are able to have sex with other people, and that's fine, and women aren't, and that's cheating.
It's one of those things where it's like, obviously, like, what you're going to have people that can obviously dispute and disagree with that and get into these dumb, monotonous arguments online where it's like, obviously that's not true. But the real core, like, to me, above all of that, if you're just looking at it neutrally, is these ideas have been so thoroughly expressed. Don't you want to think of something new? Don't you want to come out with something new than just kind of like baseline misogyny? Like, don't you get bored? Don't you, as a person who's doing things, get a little bored?
I don't know how that person, truly how they are alone with themselves and think, I'm doing good. I'm adding something positive to this world.
Oh, well, I mean, here's the thing is definitely, I mean, there's a chance that it's all just, you know, for clicks and
for
stuff.
For marketing purposes.
And I'll say, as a person who's certainly not in that world the way they are, they're so much more successful than me, but it's like, who's sort of in that world, I can say, like, there is probably a level of that. And it's you know what I'll say? It is comforting to know that no matter what level of success that sort of ideology entails, I will be able to avoid it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because you see people sell out like that, and it's like, yeah, well, that's something I will not be doing.
The sad thing is he probably has a lot of sex.
Oh, sure. Oh, yeah. I mean, you're being seen all the time. You're being like, there's so many. Here's the thing is like, that sort of ideology is for emotionally, like, stunted. I won't even say stunted, because stunted is maybe a little bit too harsh. I do feel bad for these guys, especially the ones who are susceptible to that sort of messaging. But it's like, you have these guys who are, like, in this emotionally sort of restricted place in their life, and they are they're across the aisle from women who are, like, emotionally, like, hurt or whatever. And those two things go together because this guy is being taught to hate you, and you are being taught to hate yourself, and this guy reflects what you think of yourself, and this woman reflects what you think of yourself. And it's like a match made in heaven, but telling those two people that, like, their current state is actually awesome and cool and the best is so morally reprehensible.
I don't know how he has multiple, like, how has what he said not already been said?
It has. Oh, obviously.
Is every episode just the same?
I mean, I'm sure
it's just a different iteration.
I'm sure it gets
show.
Tired. I'm sure it gets boring, but these things kind of sprout up and pop up every few years. It's like, you know, it's just one of those things, man, where it's like, and you listen to it. Here's the fucking thing, not to get too fired up about this,
please,
but here's the fucking thing that makes me go psycho is when you really talk to these, you really listen to them, you really talk to them, you fucking see and feel the hurt. Like, even they have had clips come out from their podcast where it's like, women can't even fathom the amount of, like, emotional pain and torment men are under. And it's like, yeah, totally. Like, so what you're saying is that you are a hurt person who's acting out of hurt. Like these guys know that in their core, they know that they are hurt, and it's a form of lashing out to act this way towards women. And it's the saddest thing, because if they didn't know it, then it would be more understandable, because it's like, oh, this person's acting out of ignorance. But it's so much more fucking dark than that, because I think these guys know that their emotional worlds are restricted and repressed. And instead of trying to learn how to open that a little bit and understand more, it's like, no, we're going to double down on closing it. No one's ever fucking getting in here. Ah. And then these fucking people go on YouTube as proposed experts and tell them that that's actually the right thing to do. It's such a fucked up cycle of literal abuse happening online.
They're literally men who have been severely hurt one time, and so they're saying that from this point on, I will never let someone in my life again.
And it may be multiple times. And, like, the world is a fucking harsh, cruel place, and I'm not saying that these guys, like, I would never take any person's proclamation of being hurt or damaged and, like, deny it in any way. And it's like, I do fucking believe that these guys, like, are whatever they're we are in a fucking society that, like, I think does sort of restrict men's abilities to learn how to healthfully express their emotions. that being the baseline, the way to deal with that is not by fucking doubling down on it and telling young guys it's actually good and cool to not show any emotion and to fucking restrict it and keep it. It's like, it's such a fucked up way of making money, is to perpetuate a system that you know and literally admit is damaging men, is by like, it's like, no, you actually need to be meaner to women to fucking get through this, not be like, oh no, your anger and like fucking clear resentment towards women is a result of this like pain that you're feeling, and you shouldn't be feeding that. You should actually be trying to like heal yourself, and through doing that you'll probably be nicer to women and accept them more. It's just, it's such a fucked system that we only address at its surface level, which is like, what you're saying is wrong, and like what you're saying is rude, and then they'll be like, no, well, you're a dumb bitch, and then they're, you know, well, I can't believe you said that. And it's like the underlying entrenched like fucking evil and hurt that's simultaneously going on in those like kind of shows and contexts is, it's, it'll break your brain, you know?
Woo! Yeah, I guess what he's saying is good advice if all you want to have is sex and not ever have a meaningful relationship.
I mean, even then,
but it's unfulfilling sex.
It's ungratifying sex because you're not having sex with like a in your mind.
It's also funny in any of his podcasts. I can't even listen to more than 2 minutes of it because his whole like mission statement kind of negates the existence that queer gay people exist, or like their relationships are completely useless.
You fall out of the context.
Like, I don't know what he would do if like a gay person was a guest on his show. Yeah. He would just implode.
Yeah.
Like, he should just be a gay man then.
That
if
would
he's
be
like,
cool.
Men just want sex. Like, then it's like, yeah, okay, then you I should just it. Have sex
well,
with men.
Boy, do I have a solution for you.
Right.
But no, well, going.
Like, if what he's saying is right, then it's like, okay, then everyone should
be. He would be
gay.
Doing more good for the world because not only would he as a man be having sex, but he would be creating a situation in which another man also has sex at the same time. And therefore, giving.
That's such a good
and
solution
also,
for his
when
body.
You have, in his mind, having sex with a woman devalues her. So you're keeping women safe from being devalued by your fucking penis. You're allowing yourself to have sex as a man, and you're also allowing another man to have sex.
Isn't his mission statement literally going around and devaluing women?
Well,
he's making them unmarketable because he's... How much time do we have, Lewis? What are we at? Okay, cool.
Well, but this what you're talking about right now is the exact like psychosis that I'm talking about, where it's this by its nature antisocial behavior, because you're saying your belief is that women are devalued by sex, and also you want to have as much sex with them as possible. So you're literally, by your existence in this system that you think exists, you're making the world a worse place by just being alive.
Even by your own standards. If you're like looking for a woman who hasn't had sex with other people, but you're telling men to have sex with as many women as possible.
Whereas here's an ideology. It's like, people are autonomous and sex can be very healthy, and having like healthy sex benefits both people, which it like it is very true to many people. And like, I believe that for myself. And it's like, so I don't have this fucking constant mental weight when it comes to sex, because it's like, when I have sex with a woman, it's not, oh, she is now becoming devalued, and people will be like, oh, well, would you be okay with your daughter getting fucked by 100 guys? Like, would you be okay with your daughter being a sex worker? And it's like, you're fucking making these hypotheticals out of thin air with the assumption that the sex is unhealthy or that the lifestyle is unhealthy. And it's like, you have to be more specific. If my daughter was fucking like, was an empowered person who was having sex with people in like a healthy way, it's like, why would I give? There's so many more important things to worry about than that.
Like the fact that you don't have a daughter.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's number one.
You're like, wait, I have a daughter?
Wait a second. Where is she?
She's had sex with 100 men,
and I haven't even met her.
That's my cum out there.
Yeah.
Having sex. Wow. That's such a good podcast.
Yeah. This is the new Alpha Male podcast.
I got dragged on Twitter yesterday so hard for so long for such a stupid reason.
Go on.
I'm literally having like a existential crisis with my internet presence, which has been non-existent because I feel like I'm tiptoeing, but I need to just escape whatever I'm in. Mm. But the other day, like I got like hundreds of Twitter notifications and I was like, oh, something must have popped off, right, or whatever. Britney Spears released a 20-minute video on YouTube yesterday. I don't know if you're aware of this, where she basically said like, she was like, I've been asked by Oprah and all these other media outlets and offered a lot of money to tell my story. But she was like, she was like, it feels gross to me to get paid money to tell people what I've been through. So I'm just going to tell you all now. And she just released like 20 minutes of basically like, this is what happened to me. This is the sixth cycle that I was in. And it was just free.
In like YouTube. The conservatorship. Like that's what
yeah,
she was.
Yeah. She was just like, this is my side.
That's
of the story.
Very cool of her. She didn't. Yeah.
I think she's like an incredible person. And obviously she has a ton of money. She's like, why am I trying to capitalize on this? Whatever. Interesting point of view from her. So that came out, and then of course like all these Britney stans dug through like my content on Twitter and then started reposting like,
whoa,
Britney videos. And then like, anyways, I got onto Twitter and I was like, oh wow, I wasn't even putting in effort and I'm popping off. And I just get in and it's all these kids retweeting all my stuff and then just being like, yeah, be like, Matt, your days are numbered. You should go kill yourself. Like, this is disgusting. Like, and then whatever, just so many retweets, reposts, hundreds,
right,
hundreds of comments. And I felt so, it's so sad. I shouldn't have read any of them. And then, of course, I'm a dumbass and I like commented and I was like, hey, everyone, I just want to let you know, like, I've loved Britney since her first single was released.
Right.
And I love all of you, too. And I hope you're having a good day.
Oh, yeah.
And then it was met with like, we really don't give a fuck. Why don't you kill yourself?
Yeah.
And then I ended up just deleting all those videos from Twitter so that like the whole thing got erased. But I was just like, I was like, I don't want to be like, I can do impressions of other people. I literally don't want to be a part of this machine at all.
It's tough, man, when you get into a cycle like that. It, you know,
I have not been active on the internet for months after being shadow banned. And
but it's so funny because they're reposting this video that I guess by their assertion is like damaging and mean-spirited. And it's like, well, then don't repost it.
Right. I mean, I don't think any of these people have like have a strong moral backbone. Like their literal presence online, like they're labeled as like Britney stans, and their little their existence online is to filter through content, find anyone that they feel like is harming Britney, and to make them want to kill themselves.
You know, there was it was really funny.
They then went through all my tweets and then started reposting and really like, oh, this is what this person thinks is funny.
Right.
Like, wow, maybe, you know, like just like negating anything that I've ever posted.
Right.
As being like worth merit.
I made a tweet about Tom Brady kissing his son because I just made like a little joke about it or whatever. And I saw somebody commented on it and was like, you know, just kind of a basic, like, quote unquote, anti-hater type thing where she was like, you'll never have like 1% of his success and whatever in life. And it's like, yeah, probably true. And I look at who she is and she's Tom Brady, like not a joke. She is actually like one of Tom Brady's like, like cousins or second cousin or something like that. And I was like, her whole day, because I saw her, I looked like at what she was replying to. Every single thing negative said about Tom Brady, she tweeted under and was like, you're a fucking piece. And it's like, you're just on this all day, dude. And I did it too. When I first started posting and people would say negative things, I would just respond to every single one of them and be like, that, blah, blah, blah. And then I just realized, like, this, they're making me into them. Like, people who are being negative online turn you into them and try, and it's like, you just don't have to. There's no, if you think it's fun, and it's like sometimes I do, and sometimes people actually have good feedback online, and that's fine. But people with just the intention of being negative and hurting you, you just don't have to engage. That's the great thing about the internet, is it's fake, and we made it up, and it can be whatever you want it to be. And take advantage of that. Take advantage of the fakeness of the internet.
Only use the good parts of it and leave out the bad.
Use it to your benefit. Whatever benefits you, whatever makes you feel good, you know?
The last thing I'll say about Twitter is that my favorite reposts and comments from the people on the internet was dozens and dozens of people saying, wow, this is what straight men think is funny. Them being like, of course, a straight man puts on a wig and thinks he's hilarious.
How could they even get that wrong? How could they even?
I loved it.
I know you. That is something you would love. But how can they even get that wrong?
I know. I mean, do your research. Like, look through four more of my tweets and just listen to me talking about shitting out cum.
I mean, talk to four gay guys, and by the fourth one of them will have had sex with you.
But yeah, people would be like, wow, this is what straight people love. And then like there would be like 50 comments under it. And it's like, of course, like straight people think it's funny to me. And then finally one guy would be like, by the way, he's gay.
And then, at least people know, you know, people know you. Look at that.
People know me. I did get posted on this website called
Stormfront.
Called QAnon. God, what is it? It's called like LDS, Latter-day Saints. No, it stands for large dick.
Okay, I like where this is going.
Large dick sympathy samurai? Club or okay. Something. But it's for celebrities who, it's for finding nudes of celebrities. And a friend sent it to me. And there was a post of mine. And it was like, hey, I really like this American gay comedian named Matt LeGrand. Does anyone have his nudes available?
Let's go.
And I was like, God, this is going to take him about 4.5 minutes.
Yeah,
to
4 seconds.
I've never heard of it until then.
We'll go through this later. We'll go through this.
I'd never heard of it.
But ladies and gentlemen, I have a whole afternoon in front of me. Thank you all for listening to the Sissy Boys podcast.
What's something straight you did?
Oh, right. Oh, right. Something straight that I did is I drove with my girlfriend to Azusa to help her move furniture.
Is she living there?
Nope. We were picking up a table.
For her current place?
For her current place.
Oh, hell yeah. Something gay that I did. I tried to watch Road to Perdition and turned it off 20 minutes in. I love that director Sam Mendes, and I cannot get into that movie. Something about that gangster time period does nothing for me.
Does nothing for you.
And the aesthetic of it. Yeah. Okay. Thank you all for listening. Oh, I guess we're going to do
shout outs.
Oh, Cooper is sick.
Yeah, Cooper has a little sniffly.
Cooper has stage 4 monkeypox.
Yeah, he'll be okay. He'll lose his arm, but he'll be fine.
Yeah, his girlfriend gave him monkeypox.
All right. Cameron Price, Emily T, Takea Brown, Diego Luna, Nelly Pavel, Jesus M.
It's probably Jesus.
Donovan Walker. Wow, good.
Nice,
good subs.
Thanks, guy. Oh, there's more.
There's more. There's a lot more. Christina Dreams, Lindsay Booker Taylor, Chris GG9. Okay, for the names so far, give them a little something, Matt. Okay, what do we think about them?
Yeah, Christina Dreams, honey, I dream too. Gibran
Fregoso, Morgan Hiller. Oh, Morgan Hiller. I know Morgan. I worked at a bike shop that he used to work at, and I worked with his brother
in
there.
Boston?
Yeah, cycle shop. Morgan wow. And his brother, Oliver, have some of the fucking craziest. You would go crazy for them. They have the craziest lower bodies you've ever seen. Cyclists, both of them.
Oh, wow. Okay. Have you seen them naked?
I haven't seen them naked, but I wish.
Okay, when you say crazy lower bodies. Okay. Yeah, great.
Oh,
I would love whatever.
I don't want to put their business out, but one of them has a notoriously huge dick.
And both of them have clearly massive asses.
Big asses.
LJB. Damn, girl.
David McGig. That's awesome.
That's it. Mick Ginge.
Damus Ortiz. M. Doherty.
Oh, Damus Ortiz is my old coworker.
Oh, really?
RIP to me getting fired.
PRTNFN. Drez Key Iffy. Ethan Akins. Ethan Akins is a friend of mine.
Wait, why do I know Ethan Akins?
Do you know Ethan Akins? He's a very nice man. Very nice man. Great snowboarder.
Peter Murphy, Emily Ty,
Fab, Mari Mao.
Tara, miss you. Yeah, we do miss you. Ian Jelinek and Baylor Watts.
Thank you guys. If you subscribe, you'll get a little shout out like that. And if I know you, I guess I will tell personal stories of you on the podcast. Thank you all for listening and tuning in.
Was that fun?
Yeah, that was good. That was very deep.
I guess it's kind of funny that we never addressed Cooper. I meant to call